The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Does it sound okay or not?
Yeah, you sound fantastic. Welcome to the Easter Weekend Podcast. Paddy's doing a mic test. 1, 2.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. This distorted, bud.
Is that better? Can't hear you,
bud. What?
You see the two? What we need is a happy medium, pad. You know, right in the middle there.
Yeah, I need you to tell me what it sounds like, because yeah, I can't hear it.
That's all right. It sounds a bit echoey, but it's fine. But we've got a full house here. We've got Paddy, Pete, Steve. You're all right, lads.
Yes, hello.
Now, Steve went off grid last week, didn't he, Steve? We were going to call you at Brecon Beacons. You know, the Welsh now don't have to be so local. They can be sort of local, but not too local. Mm. Oh, back off, love. Don't get too local with me. So where did you go, Steve, in the Brecon Beacons?
Yeah, I had a bit of a nightmare because we got there and it was too windy and snowy at the top of the mountain. So we had to abandon. That's when you were trying to call me. So I had to abandon ship and go to a different mountain.
You took a ship there? Don't take a ship to the Brecon Beacons, Steve. It's mountains. Yeah.
What was the name of the mountain? What was the name of the mountain again, Steve?
Kevin.
Lord Hereford's Knob.
That's why they went there. Right. Ooh, Steve looked at the map and go, ooh, let's go there.
So we went, and a genuine story, we went then to Cockett Hill instead.
Let's look for another mountain with the sound of an appendage.
One of the mountains that is on the list is Fanny Big as well.
Shut up!
I'm not looking.
Did he go up Fanny Big? Did he go up there?
We have got that planned, though.
Yeah, a lot of us went up Fanny Big. All of us.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah. Oh, I'd recommend a nice little trip up Fanny Big. Right. Lovely. Let's get on with stocks and shares, shall we?
Right, sorry, yeah.
So it's Q2, lads. How's Q2, you know, feeling to you? Are you feeling good or what? What's with your thoughts?
Really good so far.
I had a good Q1. I don't want to talk about this, but measuring performance, why it's important, why it's not important, why you should do it or shouldn't do it, you know, because Q1 has ended. And I try and do, and I posted it on the website there, sharepickers.com, and Q1 was very good for me. You know, it was a dodgy bit in the middle, but the last few days were very good when some of my bigger holdings did quite well, you know, and they sold off then on the Thursday it ended, didn't it, March, and then they sold off on the Friday, but... that's largely down to Steve.
Today is Friday. Today is Good Friday.
Oh, sorry. Thursday.
You're one day in arrears there.
Wednesday, in your ears as well. Also, talk about ISAs. Littering, I think, is a good thing. Steve got a video. This is why I think it was very, very good. Gfinity had news out, of course, interims, and Paddy, two fans. Paddy, you got another fan. Another one said, I like Paddy on the podcast. I don't know who it was. I saw it somewhere. I think it was on the chat group, the Sharepickers Investment Club chat group. But someone did say... And did someone email? I don't know. So you got two fans now, Pad.
Oh, right. Terrific.
Yeah. But we suspect it's you using
different names.
Different names. Yeah. I don't know, it's April 1st in the week, of course. I tell you what, most of the companies on AIM are a complete joke, aren't they? As is my portfolio. but I don't know if you saw it. Well, my favourite one was Volkswagen.
I've read that story about 15 times and I couldn't understand why people were confused by it because I thought, well, that's just their name, isn't it? Like, has that not always been their name?
Because are you dyslexic, are you?
Yeah, I gave up on it and just skimmed past it every time. I didn't understand why people were losing their minds about it.
Well, I'll explain, right? The Germans there, well known for their sense of humour, of course, the Germans, is like, have we got a funny joke for the April Fools? What am I going to do? We're going to change our name from Volks to Volts. Volts it in, electric Volts. And they all laughed, for days on end. And said, yes, and then the next day come to the boardrooms and Hans, we're getting ready to release tomorrow Firefress. It's going to be so funny. And Hans says, I've released it. What? I've released the press release. It's 2 days early, you silly fool.
Yeah.
It turns into Chinese then.
It went Chinese there a bit, yeah.
But yeah, no, that...
I thought it was quite a good idea.
Yeah, genuinely, well, of course, Volkswagen is German for people carrier, isn't it, really? So people, car of the people. People of the car of the people, yeah. So it's Volks is... Volks is in, hey, that's all, folks, as in Volks. Right. And then Wagen is a car. But so it's a people's car. But yeah, but in America, they were going to do it in America only because they said that. I thought, do you know what? Volts, everything's going to be electric anyway in a couple of years' time. So that's very good. Volkswagen, they haven't got a big share of the market. And of course, they were. Funny thing is, though, ironically, they were done for tampering with diesel limiters, weren't they? And, But did you find it funny? So we laughed for days. We laughed for days on end because we are very good with our senses of humours.
I just thought of the
German board of Volkswagen. It's genius. It's very good.
It's got to be hard though every year trying to outdo your last year's joke or your April Fools. Do you not think though?
Do they have to do it though? What's the point?
What's the point?
It's like, do we need forced fun? I suppose sometimes maybe. I did read one.
You love forced fun, Jess.
I did. Yeah, forced. I did read one where I thought was a genuine April Fool. It turned out not to be, and I thought it was. Do you see Nippon Airways? They're charging $540. To go and sit in their first class on the planes and have a proper, you know, full course meal. And I thought, that's an April Fool. I said, I did it on the podcast on the Wednesday, but I thought, that's an April Fool. It revealed it on. But it wasn't. It's still there. And they've been reporting the news. Who's going to pay $540 to sit in a plane and have a meal? I hate having food on the plane.
So you'd walk up from cattle class, have your meal, and then walk back to cattle class?
No, but obviously not flying anywhere, because there's no... It's COVID. You're just sat in the runway. They just turned them into, like, restaurants. Apparently Korea started it, and now Japan is starting it. And there's demand for it. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with it? Just the general public are idiots, and you see that by the amount of people just pouring out of their houses now, as if they haven't been out for years on end. Well, they've been going out pretty much non-stop for the last couple of months. We haven't seen anyone for years, and we've got to go and see the grass because in the mountains. But what's wrong with you? Idiots, aren't they? And in fact, let's extend this bit. Do you know what I hate? Steve, this is what comes out. Not Steve. Steve showed us. Steve got a bit nasty yesterday. I said, "What time are you coming on the podcast, Steve?" He said, "Well, it depends on what my plans are, actually. I'm really busy." And I thought, what's going on in Wales then? What is it? Mardi Gras here,
isn't
it?
I didn't say like that at all. You misread that completely.
I didn't. I misread it spot on. And then, I'm sorry. And even Pete had come back. He said, what? I said, what have you got going on in Wales, Steve? Said, I'm going to wait around for you, am I? Oh! Sorry, I'm a bit angry.
That's not how I said it.
Sorry, I'm a bit angry, he said. And he uploaded a video of course, Steve's tech house. He's got, you've got a Ringio, haven't you, Steve? A Welsh version of Ring. Is that what you got?
Ringo.
Yeah, Ringo. No, so we got one of those now, camera outside that records everything. You know, every bit of movement, it records it, and obviously it goes up the cloud. But Steve, explain what you saw there.
I just looked outside and there was a Costa coffee cup just out on the street. It was bin day, so I thought it might have blown out of the bin. But I had a look on the camera to see where it came from, and it wasn't. Some car literally drove up into my cul-de-sac, reversed, placed their coffee cup out the door on the floor, then carried on driving, and then threw the second one out down the road. And I was like, what's wrong with you?
Do you know what? I feel like actually ripping their wing mirrors off and smashing their heads apart with it. I feel like murdering them.
You know, there was a little bit of anger as I was kind of like looking at the footage, but at the same time, there's a little bit like, right, this is going to the council and you will be getting an £80 fine.
Yeah, what's good is that Steve did a screenshot of the car. He highlighted the registration number and he sent it to the council. Now, I love that. Because first of all, when someone litters, right, they're disrespecting everyone in the environment. Everyone. Yeah. You may as well just come up and urinate on my face, you know. That's how offensive that is, because you don't care about the environment I live in, you don't care about me. So you doing that, you little scumboy. If everyone did that, what awful place would be to live. And people are doing it now at festivals or going out and just look after your environment, you imbeciles. What I like about it, what I really like about it, is tech, right, has beat this dunderhead. The dunderhead just casually opened his door, put it on the thing, drove off. No, we got you, dumbhead, brain dead. Yeah, the camera's got you, it's got your registration, that's it. And tech wins, you know? Tech clever, man in car, dumping litter, thick.
Do you know what? They were actually kids, and I think they were quite aware that, well, they obviously knew what they were doing, but as they were kind of reversing, I don't think you could see it on the phone, but on the bigger screen, you can clearly see them looking at the houses. They're obviously looking for a camera or a ring. I haven't actually got a ring, by the way. I've got a CCTV, but it's kind of hidden under the things. You can't see it. So they're obviously looking, checking there's no cameras on the houses. They've done it anyway, and yeah.
I mean, I know this is Wales, but this sounds like a really dull weekend. Why are they doing that?
Well, you know,
why are they driving to like a really quiet cul-de-sac to dump one coffee cup?
I don't think they are thinking that, Steve.
Two cups, cards.
Don't you think they're probably looking for a house or whatever they're going to? And then the littering is just incidental. Like, they don't even think about littering. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That probably was it, to be honest. Yeah.
I think they're going, oh, let's go and litter. Because that's the problem with these people, is they're so base. They go, you know, they don't even think, they don't see there's anything wrong in littering because they don't, you know.
This is what you get with Costa Coffee customers.
There we go.
People in there on a Saturday morning go out for and they buy toast, which
is about £1.50, isn't it?
It's £1.50 for two slices of toast.
No. Who does that?
In the one in my Tesco, there's a queue normally out the door of people just ordering like plain toast.
That's wow. Most of the general public are maniacs. It's so annoying. In fact, so Steve, I've got your video on you. So the car registration is, what is it? It's a Citroen. It's a yellow car. Is it a yellow Citroen car?
Yeah, it's a terrible looking car.
It's really bright yellow. Yeah. And Steve got it there. It's YR66UHF. So if anyone can, knows is living close to that, and you can just, what do they do? Just break into the car, empty about six bins of rubbish inside the car, lock it up, and see them come out and film them. I'd love to see that. Anyway.
And just for compliance, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Really? Don't blame Justin.
Okay, boys. Anyway, Q1. How was the portfolio? So, I mean, do you look at? I'm going to ask you individually. Do you actually look at how you performed on a regular basis? Do you have any kind of? Because what I'm doing, I'm uploading some stuff to the website. One of them is going to be a spreadsheet where you can monitor your basically just fill in the value of your portfolio on a quarterly basis, and it works out percentage gains, all that for the year. It'll do all that for you. I'm going to put that on the website. But do you look at, do you bother looking at performance or just check it out? Or do you anything?
Yes.
What do you do?
Yeah, I have like a spreadsheet that I update because Harry and Larry with their platform, either on the app or on their website, it doesn't give you a true representation of your gains and stuff because it doesn't factor in the sales into your – so what you're seeing there isn't your true gain on a stock. So, and especially then obviously you've sold stocks as well, and I want to know how well I've done on a stock, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I have a spreadsheet where I'm keeping a running total of my net investment in that stock and then the current price and the gain or loss maybe. And then, yeah, so I keep an idea. I saw your video. You're about 30% up for the year, aren't you?
Yeah, 34 for the quarter. Yeah.
I'm about 15% up, so I'm a
little
bit behind.
That's because you didn't deadhead. So, when you're on deadhead...
Asia Met, yeah, pulled me down a little bit there. But
yeah,
I'm all right.
Yeah, but when you don't deadhead...
I was just saying, Pete, your system there, do you have to manually every, like, say, whenever you decide to do it, just put in the figures, or have you got some sort of automatic...
I haven't progressed to a clever way of doing
it. He's got a lady that does it for him. A little lady from the Philippines.
I know you could pull in the data, couldn't you? Paddy, you've got a more sophisticated version, haven't you?
Yeah.
There you go.
What are you doing, Pad? Pad's obviously making something.
Paddy's not even listening.
No. What are you making, Pad?
I'm just eating. I'm eating. Yeah, I have, but it relies on the Google finance numbers, which aren't the right numbers. Whilst it shows me a representation of my portfolio, and I get excited when I have a portfolio, when I get an all-time high on that number. It's not the real number.
Yeah, no, the Google show the last price paid. So if it's a buy, it's quite high, of course, higher than the sell. But, wasn't that from my portfolio management thing? And you added on to that, didn't you?
No, I did it all by myself.
No, you didn't, did you? Anyway.
When have you ever done a Google Doc?
I did. What do you mean? Basically, I sent you all the things, portfolio. In fact, I'm going to do one of those as well. Because we've said over and over again, you don't need more than 10 stocks. In fact, if you've got a pot less than 30,000, you don't need more than five stocks, and you probably have a fund in there at plus four stocks, maybe, you know, and that's plenty. If you've got a decent chunk of money, you just want to earn, you know, more than the bank gives you, fair enough, you can diversify or just put in a fund. But if you want to multiply your portfolio over years and, you know, build up a decent bit of wealth, you've got to really concentrate on less stocks, really, and do some more deep research, have more conviction. And so I'm going to upload one of those to the website. And in fact, there's two different versions of spreadsheets for management and performance. But do you know what part of me thinks as well? One of the resources on the website I link to is investing.com. And if you put your watch list on investing.com, they will send you a notification all the time, every time one of your stocks rises by more than 5% or falls by more than 5%. Now, if it falls by like 8%, they add adjectives like tanking or I don't want that, because one of the worst things we have as investors is check the prices too much. And I don't know if it's true, but Buffett says he doesn't got a computer in his room. He doesn't have a price monitor in his room. He doesn't even build for the checking prices. Doesn't care.
Because he's a multi-billionaire. So
but the thing is, how many times... There is the problem with checking prices. If the business is doing well, don't worry about the day-to-day price, you know? If it's improving, you know, you should count it really in quarters at least, but maybe halves and years rather than days. We look at our prices way too much. I do all the time.
Yeah.
And I think monitoring performance is good. It's quarterly. I was going to do it on a monthly basis. No, silly, you can't do that, because monthly is still quite short-term. Quarterly is a bit better, of course, because you can see, hopefully, the business will start to improve over quarters. But like I said, if you look at something like Gfinity, you know, to turn any company around takes a while, you know, and it'll get reflected in the stock price, yes. But sometimes you'd have technical things like a seller selling, which has got nothing to do with the business. Generally, it's nothing to do with the business, or fund selling, nothing at all. So, you know, why get panicked out of a stock because the share price goes down, you sell it, and then all of a sudden it just shoots up, you know? So I'm just worried. I think monitoring is good, because I looked at that spreadsheet, and Argo Blockchain, for example, that video just did yesterday, 3,000% that's done. Yeah, so you put a grand in, you'd have had a £33,000 if you'd sold, say, yesterday or on the 1st of, on the 31st of March. So I missed out on several baggers. But it's taught me that even, and I'm not saying Argo is a trash stock, but I've seen even trash stocks that now I realise are not as good as I thought they were, have done relatively well over time, you know? Mm. Time solves a lot of issues. And so
you're going against the deadheading now?
No. You've got to have
You can't have both of these things.
I can, because you've got to look at the current filters I have, right?
Mm.
And I've evolved this thing. I'm looking at companies that are going to be two ways of creating of a company getting cash. They're raising by funds or organically via their business. And if a company starts generating real value, and I mean by real value, cash via their operations, that's good. So any stock you should look at should have some kind of roadmap towards profitability. And in fact, I just uploaded a video. Someone on the club asked me, he said, I'm never quite sure when a company needs cash and how far they are away from profitability. And I give three examples in that video that I've just uploaded. And you can see, if you are aiming towards companies that are going to be, you know, generating cash, and they're coming from a loss-making position, that's a very good inflection point, because generally the share price has gone down for ages on a lack of bad sentiment because they're loss-making and they got to the end of their tether as far as raising money is concerned. And then all of a sudden they start generating value and the share price rallies like crazy. You know, the first couple of months of that rallies like crazy.
But the stocks that you talk about, which have hurt you, Argo, Open Orphan,
Powerhouse.
They're all making cash, only bounced this year because of the pandemic.
No,
something completely out of the. Well, at the time when you sold them, it was a fair enough decision to sell them. No.
If anything, Open Orphan, people think it's a COVID stock. It's not. It's related to vaccines. Vaccines are going to be massively popular over the next few years now. But they've also do the services they provide, haven't they? But I sort of trusted Cahill more than that, and I just got a bit impatient there. And the guy, I realised.
The reason that re-rated was because of the pandemic, right?
No, he's completely changed the company.
He started putting COVID in the top line of every RNS.
Maybe it got some more attention because again, they are heading towards profitability. So that is one of the filters. But you know, that would, if, I mean, that would have fitted a filter. It was, I mean, in that area. I mean, that's why I looked at it. They were heading towards cash generation, you know, and profitability. Same as Argo. I mean, Argo blockchain, because obviously the Bitcoin price went nuts. But like I said on that video, people are talking about Bitcoin being $1 million. So, I mean, you can't say they've gone to 50,000 is beyond what we thought would happen, because there's been a regular talk of 100,000 at least. So that was planned in. And I talked about that on the videos thing. I just basically lost a bit of patience. No, I'm talking deadheading companies that were miles off, years off, generating real cash. Because they just pop and drop. They'll pop on news and drop because they need to raise money. They can't get money elsewhere. It's inevitable. They've got to raise money via, you know, by shareholders, and that's dilutive. That's not good for the company, you know. So, and I, you know, of course, you if you listen, I made a good chunk of money on stocks like that, but you've got to get out at the right time, you know, as you find, because it'll just drop. And the owner, you can't blame the companies. They've got to get money from somewhere. Now, if they release some news and the share price has got by 100%, then, right, we can raise some money now. And that'll keep us going for another 6-12 months. So they've got to do it. Otherwise, they go skint. So now, if that's the kind of company you want to buy, you've got to be on your toes a little bit, you know? You've got to be close to your broker terminal or your app, getting ready to sort of, oh, hang on, sell, you know, as soon as you've got up. So I don't want to be like that. I want to have a company where I know pretty much there's a smooth pathway for the next 3 years to where they're generating real value, you know? That's what I'm saying.
But then, like, On the Market, for example, is the one that's the only only other stock for me in Q1 that's performed badly and has eroded some of the portfolio value. So I'm sat now at a slight loss, actually. Yeah, I'm down on that now.
Yeah,
so,
me too. But no, that's frustrating. Again, I could easily sell that and think, right, it's getting on my nerves now.
But
it's becoming cheaper and the bounce will be stronger, because it's like less than 3 times revenue now. And Jason needs to do some promotion on it, Mr. Teb. And he will do it, apparently. Apparently, this is the month. Q1, he wanted to bide his time, improve, and they're punching out a lot more on social media. So, yeah, they just need to up their, have a bit of faith for a bit. But I
came very close to selling that this week, and then it went down again, and I was like, oh, I might as well stick with it.
Well, no, but you said you keep doing this, right? You said, oh, I should bought that. And then you look back and you get confirmation bias. Right? You look at something that has risen, that you thought in your head for a fleeting moment you're going to buy, and it's gone up. See, I said I was going to buy that. But honestly, your mind works in such a way that you'll selectively forget the ones where you thought, oh, I'll buy that, and it's gone down. So you should do it. Go with your gut. Be a dirty trader for a quarter and see what happens.
I'm not trading. I'm just being a bit more decisive. So, like, what we spoke about on the podcast last week was trimming down my portfolio. So, in order to do that, I have to sell some stuff. So, of my portfolio, the stock that I'm least convinced by at the moment is On the Market.
Why?
So, because the thing that got me interested in them was the sort of no-brainer status of them converting some of their agents into higher paying rates. And since that, I've sort of understood a bit more about how the market's working, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that.
Why?
And because I don't think they're that good. If you're an estate agent and you're heading into a recession, I would have thought you're going to be trying to trim down your expenses. And Zoopla and Rightmove are so much further ahead that you'll just go with the easy option and you'll make sure that those are the...
How do you know they're further ahead? How do you know that?
Just down to the huge amount of people that use them.
But they're not far... Zoopla, I know, yeah, but Zoopla, they've got stock levels aren't that different, aren't as different as... I sort of agree, I'm playing at devil's advocate a little bit, because the devil's too busy, so I had to come in and stand for this. Hello, I'm the devil's advocate. If you look at the growth that's going on, right, and that's what we're talking about, small cap companies, it's all about growth. They are growing where Rightmove isn't, okay? Now, they are, like, literally, their average price, actually, they're aiming for a third of Rightmove, but at the moment, they're like 133 is the average price, and Rightmove about 1,000 or just below that. So if you're talking about cutting costs, why wouldn't you have Rightmove and On the Market rather than Rightmove and Zoopla? Well, Zoopla's probably double the price of on the market, and it's growing, you know? So...
I just think about it, like people in the positions in these companies that are going to make that decision. People tend not to want to change things radically. they'd like to go with the easy option. If they have a system that works or a company they've worked with for a long time, they'll tend to stick with that, even if it is a bit more expensive. So if you've got all three and you're using all three, then you're going to get rid of the new one who hasn't really done very much for you and like is hard to identify a success with it, rather than the one that you've had since 2005 or whatever, since Rightmove started. I just think that the growth from on the market needs to be considerably more in order to get estate agents happy to pay more money to use it. Because if they've got this amount of people on it who are not paying any money at all, or hardly paying any money, it's almost like it's a freebie and you don't value that. And actually, psychologically, you may well value Rightmove more, even though it's quite a bit more expensive, because they're not paying it, they're just passing it onto the client.
Okay, but let's say opinion, right? In fact, one up on Wall Street was about having an opinion on companies or getting a feel of companies from people who you know use it, right? It's all well and good, but a lot of this is you're surmising in your head, you've got an opinion on it. Now, if you're looking at the stats and the facts, now you can go on, like I said, you looked at a company website, talked about property, and some negative comments on there, but on the market. You'll get negative comments on all of them, but you can go to On the Market's marketing, and they've got hundreds of estate agents who will be saying positive things.
Yeah, but there's some very, very small agents. The one you sent around was like one woman on her own doing basically renting out her own houses.
No, you've got the biggest one. I've seen a couple. Go on their website, and you'll see a lot of video testimonials, one of the biggest in the Southeast and all that stuff, and they're saying that. But also, I think the most important thing, it's easy to get carried away with what you think, a fact and opinion, two different things. Everyone's got an opinion. Now, the fact is, if you look at their revenues, they are growing. Now, what's more important, right, to a company? Shareholders' opinion of what they think is going on, or actually the financial results, which shows them growing. And, so it's up to you. I mean, it's up to you. If you're not happy with the company, you've got to sell it.
Growth is relative, isn't it? If you're starting from a very small base, then you can always say that you're growing.
Hang on. 23 million in revenue is for a company that's valued now 70 million is quite significant. If they're growing that 20% click each year, that's significant. It's not a small base. When you talk about, say, okay, a couple of hundred thousand to a million, yes, but they're doing over 23 million. So that's a decent chunk of revenue for a company. So I'm just thinking, hang on, let's see what if they stop now and the growth figures go down, I'm out. I've got no. I don't care what they're saying about. We've done deals with these people and this. If your revenues and your figures are going down, I'm out, because that's not good.
What I don't understand with them is the recent price action. I don't understand why it's doing what it's doing. Unless a lot of the investors are thinking the way Paddy's thinking, and that's...
Yeah, and it doesn't take a lot to sort of sway it. Yeah. But if they come out, I mean, they're going to come out with some their figures soon, but we know their figures. They're a trading update, and we know their figures anyway. Let me just find it.
But is there something that I'm missing, like the stamp duty thing's been extended and things like that, and everyone's coming out of lockdown and stuff? So you kind of think, and the economy, yes, of course, has taken a hit with everything, but house property prices are at all-time highs, I believe, in places. And so I don't quite, it doesn't seem to correlate for me. It doesn't seem to link up with why they've seen such a dip in their share price.
Yeah, you would expect it to just be, if nothing else, treading water, just staying where it is.
And
it
was like... But you won't do, because, as I'm saying, I think what a lot of issue is, when you get companies, agents coming on full-paying contracts, they get issue of equity, right? There's not a lot of... The turnover or the volume on the market is not high. It's an illiquid stock. So if you've got nothing going on apart from a couple of sellers every day, it will start to make the market tip over and start falling down, or if the sellers outweigh the buyers, of course.
The business itself right now is in a better position than it was 3 months ago, and it was trading at £1.30 or whatever, and then it's now trading at 85p or whatever. Yeah. So, that's the confusion, but that's what you get with a lot of stocks, isn't it? And that's the frustration for a lot of private investors, because the temptation now is to, throw that in.
Their average volume is less than 35,000 pounds a day, and that's not a lot.
35,000 pounds?
Yeah. A day, that's all the volume is. On the last day of trade, they did 18,000 shares, so it's 90 pence times 19,000 shares on 90 pence. So any volume. Now, what I'm saying is here, this is very interesting, right, Pat? Because when you see something negative happening with the share price, you almost look for negative things. People will do this. It's confirmation bias, you know? And that can happen. And that's one of the reasons why you shouldn't sell. It's just because the share price is moving against where you think it's going. Yeah. Because if the business is improving, it's worth having patience. Because, you know, there's so many charts where you say, oh, I'm getting out of this. It's dribbled down. All of a sudden, it just goes berserk because they've done the last update, right? I mean, they're doing 23 million in revenue. The year before that was 18. That's decent growth, you know, for a small. And the first time they were profitable, 2.3 million operating profit, loss that year before of 9.2 million. They're at an inflection point where something's going right. All I'm saying is, give it a bit of time. We've got a changeover CEO. He's got to prove himself. If the growth doesn't come, you know, if we get half-year results or training update and the CEO growth is going down, I said, do you know what? I don't know what's happening here. It may be a strategy, a long-term strategy of his, to sacrifice a bit of growth now to achieve longer-term, deeper sort of relationships. But I'm not happy with that. I'm getting out because I'm there for the growth. So that's it. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go, next set of figures, when they come out, I don't know, but they need to be, when are they releasing it? I don't know, it's going to be soon. They're going to release their figures soon, and they do some. They haven't done anything, it's a trouble. He hasn't done any, apart from the Galanti option, they haven't done any promotion around it at all. They need to come out and start talking and tell us what's happening.
But, like my amateur chart reader skills, I'd say it's a sort of support level around here. And the RSI is suggesting that it is oversold. It's down at like 40, isn't it?
So yeah. I mean,
if we were coming to the stock for the first time now, seeing it for the first time, we'd look at this and go, that's quite interesting, I think.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, I mean,
yeah, maybe.
We can be a bit biased. If the share price was rallying, right, we'd be talking about the positive things on it.
We'd be talking about, we should have bought in at 85p.
But we also, I think we'd like to own companies where it's clear that the management have a really good strategy and understand their product and have a plan to make it better and use that to make more money. And with this guy, we just don't know yet. And we are hoping that he's able to convert some of these free clients into paying clients or get more out of the ones that he's already got. We're not seeing, apart from the Glanty thing, we're not seeing very much talk. So I guess as soon as they start talking, then that will help reassure us.
It's tough
when a company just releases nothing and you hear nothing for a few months because your mind fills in the gaps, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Do you know what? That's why, you know, my last lesson on investing there on the website was psychology, market psychology. You know, it's your mind is the thing. It can mess you up and you know, if you can remove emotion, then you can be a genius at investing. But the thing is, we are emotional beings, and especially when you've got money involved, that is it. You know, you are in the game. So, but you got to know right now what's going to support on the market. First of all, if the fundamentals are good, the valuation alone, we don't need to talk about it or promote it anyway. If they're undervalued in some way and they're growing, the share price will reflect that. Honestly, it will happen. Thanks, Dan. That's good. Right. That's a nice little full stop to that little thing there. So, you know, I said, this is. Yeah, this is the issue I've had in the past. I've just, you know, I've started worrying about the share price of something.
Yeah. Okay.
Because if you look at it, right? It rallied, a momentum picked up, and it went up to 140. It's now down to 90 pence. But you know what? It's flattening out a little bit, and I'm not too worried. It's oversold. When it gets oversold, it's tenths of a bounce. And if anything, sell at the top, you know? So it will bounce. We know share prices go up and down. It's not going to grind lower and lower. They've got plenty of cash. They seem to be improving. It'll have a nice bouncing rally.
They need to sort out their website, though, don't they? They need to sort out this bedroom situation.
Filtering.
I quite like that. Yeah. anyway, you know, I'm frustrated with it sometimes. Of course I am. I'm thinking, do you know what? I haven't got any spare cash in the portfolio. When I'm looking around, I'm looking at bigger stocks to top slice, thinking I've got some micro-cap ideas that I know could rally very strongly, but I'm going to wait till the next set of figures at least. It's going to be soon. Well, when was the last time they reported? Because they had their end of years in the post-year trading update in February. They've got to be doing something now, surely. Unless Jason's just really shy. So Jason, you've got to speak to people. I don't like to speak to people.
I'm Chinese.
I'll do it all from my bedroom. Jason, come on out. No!
Jason, just send an email. If you don't want to talk, it's fine. Just send an email.
Yeah. Maybe he's got his bedroom door locked. He just want to come out and don't disturb on there, working hard.
What we want is an RNS, which addresses this crazy bedroom situation. They're now going to update the app so that you can select minimum as well as maximum.
Yes, that's it. Like every other property portal,
That would be my one reason for not using them if I was buying a house.
Yeah, we haven't heard...
I don't know why I'm talking down a stock I own.
No, it's just good. It's very healthy, though, because, I mean, we're questioning, you're a shareholder in a business. And that's the thing, we've got to think of this. I'm a shareholder in a business. There's a new guy there. We haven't really heard from him. He does stuff on Twitter and all that stuff and social media. But I want to hear him talking. You know, I want to see the whites of his eyes. I want
to
just say...
Let's go to the AGM and, you know, pitch in a question about the bedroom thing.
Yeah.
Why have they done that? I just don't understand why they've done that.
What do you mean? They told you why they done it. I told you why they did it, because it gives you a better option, isn't it? So what's the point? Do you know what? It's so irrelevant now. I forgot what it is. So basically, when you're searching for a house, right, you guys are oddballs, though. You're anomalies. I've said that. You are guys who now should be settled down and married with kids, but you're not. You're all single. Well, so when you look for a house, you look at the same kind of thing. One bedroom, bed sit. what I'm looking for, the majority of the population look for houses. They look for bigger houses because they're growing families. So I will look for, I will put my price in. That's the most important thing on the app. The price is the most important thing. Where I want to search for the house, second most important thing. Bedroom's the more important thing. But also, if I can get a four bed for the price of a three bed, I want to look at it.
Yeah, you can do that in Rightmove. Yeah.
Justin.
You can do exactly what you just described.
Yeah. And Justin, you're doing that. You're coming from your perspective. How about a couple whose kids have all flown the nest and they're downsizing? So they want.
But you got to look. Yeah, no, I understand that it's going to be for everyone.
They want three bedrooms. They don't want four, or they want two or three, not four or five. But then they can't do that on that app. Your argument falls down. It's nothing to do with
Jason, how frustrating.
Jason's on Twitter, right? He likes Twitter. So if you ask him a question on there, say hello, Jason, on the app. I don't want more than one bedroom. I want a bedsit studio diner. That's what I like. I like having my little cooking stove right next to my bed. I like the toilet right next to my bed as well. I don't want an extra bedroom, but on your app, I can't get less than one bedroom.
I'd probably just say go to Rightmove.
You're going to Rightmove there, Matt. This is the thing. We've spent too long on this, but it's a disruptor. Are they disrupting or are they just doing the same thing? If they're not disrupting, let's see. Let's see what happens.
But presumably the only disruption there, I mean, as a website goes, they're not really disrupting. It's exactly the same. So their disruption is that they're part owned by estate agents. So that's their you know, in terms of their business model, that's the only thing that they've got that's interesting or new. So they should be making more of that. And like you said they should be making the most of the exclusive thing.
No, but I believe that. But Jason did say, you know, they are looking to, you know, deepen that relationship with consumers and with agents, you know, and help them out. And he said, if you look at him on Twitter, he's very much for tell us what you want. You know, I'm here listening. I want to make it the best for the consumers and for the agents as well. So if he is doing that and he's making the best product, I'm sure someone will say to him, Jason, this bedroom plus feature. So, you know, I'm sure that will stand out, you know, so...
That's really obvious, yeah. Oh, why haven't we done that before? It'd be brilliant if they made that change and the share price rallied to like £2. And the three of us would be like, finally. See, Justin, there you go. Yeah. I would love it if that happened. That's by Kevin Keegan.
Right. Quick reminder, if you haven't got your ISAs sorted out, Stockton Shares ISA, you know, your deadline's coming up. Get it sorted. So, and also junior ISAs.
You're knackered now, aren't you? Because the market's closed until the new financial year.
Is it? No. When are we back in the market?
Tuesday's the 6th, isn't it? It's the new financial year.
Is it?
You can still put money into ISAs,
Put the money into the ISAs.
Can you open online? You still open online, can you?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. You can open online and add the funds. But no, but won't it transact? It will process on the next working day, won't it?
I don't know.
No, I added some this week. I scraped together some pennies from around the back of the cipher and stuck them in. And yeah, it's in. It's done.
Yeah, yeah, that was during a working day. That we've got bank holiday in the weekend now. Will it go through? Okay, whatever. It might be.
What's the sense in this, right? So I was going to do
1972.
I was going to do a junior ISA, right, for the kids. You could put $9,000 into those, by the way, each financial year. So I was looking into that because I've not done it before. And I looked at it. I said, Barclays. So I Google searched. What was it? Tell me the sense of this. I Google searched Barclays, junior ISA. Big article there, but we're walking the dog, and I thought, right, we're going to get onto this quickly because the financial year is ending. Because Megan's now said the money she saved, she wants me to invest. Even though I've shouted at her every day for the last 3 years saying we should invest this money, not just put it in the bank account. Anyway, so I'm looking, and so Megan calls Barclays, we get back. There's a whole sort of section on it, you know, but junior ISA, call Barclays. So I don't think we do that product. You don't do that product. What do you mean? We just read about it on your website. You know, I think there's information on the website. We don't do the product, though. What's the point, then? There's a big login button. I thought, what's the point, actually? They just want traffic, you know? They just want to give information about it when they don't have the product. Don't tell me about... I wouldn't say, you know, go into a Lamborghini garage and say, well, we don't sell Lamborghinis, actually. We just, you know, got that picture outside because it's a nice Lamborghini. what's the point, you know? Anyway, so that's annoying. So I think I have to go with Harry and Larry. You know?
Oh,
ooh, lovely. Because Harry, like, you can get them young. They never change over, see? Get them young, offer them sweets and stuff. You know, do you want to see puppies? We'll give you a free puppy. If you set up a junior Stocks and Shares ISA, we'll give you a free puppy and sweets for all your life.
I'd love to get Harry and Larry on this show 1 week.
And someone said that, actually. Someone said that. Do you see the funny thing it was? Ironically, Harry and Larry, the guys who own Hargreaves Lansdale, are called Pete and Steve.
No.
They are, they are called Pete and Steve.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah, someone's on the chat groups. I find it hilarious that they're called Pete and Steve.
It's us. Yeah.
I was considering the money I put into my new ISO, so I hadn't put any in this year up until now. I was considering opening one with another company just so that I could slowly sort of like move over to another company, but in the end, I couldn't be asked. They've got me.
And they charge you as well.
They've missed the trick there, really, haven't they? They should have called themselves Pete and Steve. Much, much more ring to the company.
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, no, I tell you what, isn't that in Hargreaves Lansdown? Pete and Steve. who would you put your money with? Hargreaves Lansdown or Pete and Steve? I can see why they went with Hargreaves Lansdown, to be honest, guys. You know, Pete and Steve. Pete and Steve are reliable guys, and they're Pete and Steve. You can rely on a Steve. Well, always rely on a Pete.
Not if you want to sell stairs.
Stairs.
What?
Stairs.
Yeah, stairs.
That's
not if you want to sell something.
Yeah, that was Steve's idea, going into stairs. And Pete said, no, do shares. It's more profitable. Was it? Really? Yeah. I thought you said stairs. When we started this business up, I was talking about stairs, not shares. I know nothing about shares.
exactly.
Doesn't matter. No one knows anything about shares. That's why we can do well.
Yeah.
I told him about that, right? See, you know, do you see that woman? I think it's a bit of a disgrace, really, but she's created lots of jobs. And I said on Twitter, I said, there's a lot of money to be made in gambling, but not if you're gambling. And that lady, what's her name? Denise Coates, CB.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Like she earned a salary of 400
million pounds a year.
Yeah, 421 million, right, in wages, and 48 quid in dividend, 48 million, sorry, in dividends, 469 million a year. And I'm thinking, part of me says that's disgusting. You don't need that much money, you know? But then someone pointed out, I just tweeted that. I got all these people arguing, saying, they're disgusting. This is a capitalist society. This is what's wrong with it and all that. I had loads of those coming on to me. And I just ignored it. But one person said, well, listen, actually, I live in that area. And everyone I know knows someone who works there at Bet365. Yeah. So if you work at Bet365, you know, they pay a lot of tax by those people working and all that, create a lot of jobs, create a lot of wealth.
Yeah, so but they should also pay their staff more.
Yeah, no, exactly. Why didn't she? 48, she doesn't need 48 million in dividends. Just give it the staff as dividends, as bonuses, isn't it? You know, why do you need that? You don't need it. Let's be honest, no one needs that much in a lifetime anyway. 420 million.
Well, unless she's buying a yacht.
There is something warped where people get so rich. Just warp their minds. That guy Gupta owns that steel factory that's going through, and he wants a loan from the British government. And he's saying we need it, otherwise, you know, it could go through and all that. At the moment, he's buying a £42 million house. What? You want a loan from the taxpayer? You got companies all around the world, and you're buying a house of £42 million. And you're asking for a loan. Now, what is wrong with you? Put your hand in your... It annoys me, people like that. Put your hand in your pocket, that woman, Dennis Coates. Love, Why not just give apparently that dividend?
I'm just reading up on her. Apparently, she does. She pays all her tax in the UK, which is probably a good thing.
Recent years have all been like $200-300 million. She's hit. Her annual salaries are insane every year. It's like, wow.
She's been one of the highest. And because it's a private company, they don't have to show it.
I guess, it's like they own the company, don't they? So, like, where else would the money go?
But she's perfectly entitled to take it, and she has a salary. So. Yeah.
But I just think ethically, I wouldn't.
Oh, of course.
It was that other guys, because it's a music business, who were very ethically spot on. They give all, I can't think of what the business is. It sells, I think, musical instruments, but it's a national company. But they literally share their profits all every year, and they give them bonuses. And it's for, these are often on Wake Up to Money. And it's like one of these guys, he said, and they've done really well as well because of it. He said, we value you, and people want to work for us. People actually want to, they want to come and work for us. And they think that. It's
like the leaders in general do that as well, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, they massively pay out a lot of the company's profits to the staff.
Yeah, no, Sounds. It's something like something Sounds. It's they do in-car audio.
Richard Sounds,
yeah, something like that. They're really...
He
just gave the company to the staff when he retired,
That's right. Richard.
They're amazing. And I just think, why not do that? That would shut every person, every lefty up. Capitalism doesn't work. But it works a lot better than communism, And if people like that just gave back...
Does it, though?
Yes! Paddy the shareholder. But listen, the thing is, people mess it up, don't they? It's like, people mess it up, you always get wrong ones wherever you are. There's wrong ones, socialists and capitalists and communists. But I mean...
Yeah, it's just greed, though, isn't it?
Like, yeah, exactly.
When greed overtakes any sort of common sense, that's when there's a problem.
Yeah, not exactly. Yeah. I just feel like it's extreme, like the markets, fear and greed. And she doesn't need that money. She could share that out and she could make, employ a lot more people.
She does do charitable foundations and all this sort of stuff as well. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of good stuff going on. The headlines, doesn't make great headlines. A headline of 400 million quid salary.
No, exactly. But if you said to her, Denise, we're going to have a cap on your money, 10 million a year. So it's a massive reduction from 421, but are you going to spend 10 million quid a year considering she hasn't got probably 6 houses with no mortgages on anyway. She hasn't got bills coming in, is she? So even 10 million, you could give the other 370 million to other people or something, charities, anything. I just think, you don't need that. That's the whole point of capitalism. So many people can benefit. So many people can. But they have already.
It's starting to sound a little bit like Jeremy Corbyn here, I've got to be honest.
Jeremy Corbyn, no.
Remember him? Can I just clarify that Pete is wealthier than Steve? Pete is worth 2.4 billion. Steve is a mere 1.7 billion net worth.
How's that? Are they not a 50-50 then? That's weird, isn't it?
I know, but they've got loads of other investments. Like Steve is a shareholder of or owner rather of Bristol City Football Club Bristol Rugby. Yeah, whereas Pete, I don't know what Pete does. I think Pete just screws his money away.
Imagine this being like a game in, Eddie Murphy film? Trading Places. I haven't seen those two now.
Exactly. I know. Do you know what? I bet Pete ramps Steve into crap stocks. Says, "Hey, Steve, I've got a tip for you. Buy this stock now, right?" And then Steve buys it and they do a massive place. And did he buy that? I haven't bought any. No, I'm just messing around. What do you know? I'm richer than you now, aren't I? Yeah.
And Steve just holds on to stocks forever, like holds on to football clubs forever, and they die. Yeah. And he's just holding, I'm not selling Bristol City. I'm going to hold on to Bristol City. They're going to be Premier League one day. And they keep going down and down. Yeah. Never happens.
That's it. So Gfinity, again, it's annoying. I genuinely think Gfinity, right? Because of the technical issues with Gfinity, we've got sellers and warrant holders selling and all that stuff. That will be over before October, pretty much, because, of course, people will exercise their warrants before October and sell if they want to sell or hold on. But it won't be a problem. But do you see that guy who's Charles Street Holdings? That's phenomenal. That's the kind of guy I like, And he invests in small tech companies, and no one knows him, basically. He's a guy called Robert Keith, low profile, tech investor. He founded EDOS, Lara Croft is EDOS, came from that. And he also...
Sorry, what? Charles Street is like a company name, is it?
It's Charles Street is a company, but it's his company. So he's an investor. It's called Charles Street Holdings, They own 28% now, Gfinity, after they've exercised their warrants. He won't sell them either. So we know they're not going to get flipped. It's owned by Robert Keith because he launched EDOS, which was massive. Do you remember Lara Croft was massive? One of the first big games that went crazy, didn't it? So he's obviously sold that. And then he started. Most entrepreneurs are one-hit wonders, you know. Then he started another company called Fast Search and Transfer, and that was bought by Microsoft for $1.2 billion. He's got a decent chunk in Gvinity. And I like that. If you search for him, you won't find this picture of him. Is Robert Keith his name is? But
We've talked about this before, and you still haven't found a picture of him.
No, you won't. You won't. It's like, is it really under the cover? I spoke to a broker who obviously operates through. In fact, one of the brokers who were for Gvinity. And he said, "No, you won't find anything on him. Hardly anything on him, really." But by his nature, he invests in a lot of companies, tech startups that fail, but it doesn't bother him. I think Gvinity is going in the right direction. You know? And listen, what happens is, I think towards the end of the year, we'll have no selling, buying, and I think it'll re-rate. And it's one of those things where it's very frustrating because it'll get six pence, come back down to 3.8 pence, which is so annoying as a long-term holder. But I mean...
I ask, what's your strategy on that in terms of what are you thinking longer term? So riding out the bumps and whatever, you've got your holding. Are you thinking, have you got a target price? Are you thinking you'll just hold? If the story doesn't change and it continues to get better over the next few years, are you just going to hold and top slice a little bit at some point?
Yeah, I'm just looking at a picture of...
I've just sent you a picture of him.
Of Robert Keith, apparently. Is that him?
That's him, yeah. It took me literally 3 seconds to find him.
But you're on Shutterstock. Where?
You own Shutterstock?
No, he's got... Look at that. It could be him because he's standing next to a big house.
It's Jeremy Corbyn, isn't it?
He's like Jeremy Corbyn. He's smart. Friendly. He's a smart guy.
He's got lovely cars.
Investor. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Jaguar servant and his Suffolk home. Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that took about 2 seconds. Well done, Pab.
You won't find him.
Did you go on Shutterstock for that, or just go on Google?
Just Google.
Right, that picture cost £159 to buy.
I know, if you want to buy that picture, editorial single image, £159.
You're going to, aren't you, Justin? So you can put it on your wall.
Got Shutterstock all over it.
I could Photoshop that out if you want.
That's a Ferrari standing next to there, isn't it? Or Maserati. And he's a classic car behind. A big hat. But he's one of the holders there, which I quite like. No, I'm going to hold on to it. It's improving. I think it'll be... John knows what he's doing. And he did say in the last podcast, if you listen to it, we're more a digital media publisher now, is what we're going to be. So there'll be service providers, of course, of esports, but there'll be more on the digital media side, which I'm glad, because the margins on that are like 60, 70%. And the margins on other stuff... And not as big as 20% from that. So it brings the blended average of the margins about 30%. But if they get the digital, digital media side up and running, like I said, a flywheel building up momentum all the time, that'll be generating lots of cash. And he's aiming, like I said, his role model business wise is Future PLC, which is a media company, and it's worth $1.5 billion. And he's got a little dog there, investor Robert.
He's also got billiards, I think. Is that billiards or snooker?
That's a nice house, isn't it? Do you know what?
I've just found all his holiday snaps as well online, so I'll send them over.
That is one session, isn't it? Because it's all around his house.
Tennis courts.
One photo session.
Got grass and hard surface court.
So I think we just better stop this because the fact that he's quite a low profile tech.
Have you seen his pool? Wow, yeah. It's beautiful. It's got a little greyhound in the corner. Is that real, or is that a statue?
Listen now. He's a low, profile tech investor.
Yeah.
And we are looking at this through all his photographs on a podcast.
It's not like we've hacked his.
That's what does that photo should be for? Sounds like it's for some one of these Country Life magazines or something, you know? It looks like one of those things, you know? But I genuinely think have a bit of patience. It's going to be a bit volatile this year. This is a transition year. If you hold on this year, I think we'll just be laughing next year, honestly. It'll be one of these star companies, esports, a British company doing very well in esports, and I think it'll do very well. I quite like it. I see the future there. It's a very good future. What's annoying, though, is I talk about this star company just worth holding on to. And I said, I didn't say that last week. Paddy said, I said, it's a five-bagger nailed on. I didn't say that. What I said is, I can't see any other company with a clear route to five-bagger stardom, five-baggership, as Escape Hunt. because they got a plan to open 50 sites on a valuation of 3 million per site. And in fact,
you said it's as close to a nailed on five bagger as I can get.
Yeah, exactly, because there's nothing nailed on in the world of investing. But you may get frustrated because Stewie Seller, is a bit, I don't understand why Stewie's selling, because he's made a bit of profit. Of course, he had 3.3 million on the 16th. He's obviously a late reporter. He tends to report late on his sales. So he went down to 3.3 million on the 16th, didn't report that the 29th. Apparently, he's around about 3 days he's supposed to report within. So he's leaving that very late. It's been selling going on again. I think the share price is holding up very high. We hit high, hit 33 pence. That's a 70-month high with his selling. With his selling, he's hitting that. So that shows you his buyers there, right? So I think when he clears, and he is probably below 3% right now, the reopening of the economy, the sentiment towards that, we've got a month, we're into April now. By the 17th of this month, we have a month left so they can reopen properly. I think this will fly. I'm glad Stewie's going to be out before we get this positive running, because it'll fly and Stewie the seller will be out. And
but you have to say he's actually played a blinder, because he was buying in at like 5 or 6p and sold at what, 12 or something. Got into the placing.
He's a dirty 16. Trader. That's what he is.
Well, yeah, all right, but he has played it well, because he's like I said, got out of 12p ish, wasn't it? And then, well, I mean, reduced his holding. He's never been completely out, has he?
What? He was selling down before that and whinging and selling.
Okay.
And the placing, took part in the placing and dumped his stock again. Stewie, have a bit of loyalty to a business, yeah? You've done very well by.
Okay, but you're frustrated for a different reason. But what was the placing at? 15, 16p or something, wasn't it? Or 18p? Or I can't remember what it was. It was something like that. Yeah. And he's now selling in at 30p. You know, he's trading it, sure, but he's
done very well. Doubled his money.
He's done very well. Twice he's doubled his money, you know, so he's done very well.
Yes,
so,
he has, and I hate him.
Okay. What else, Stewie?
Dirty trader Stewie.
Let's just hope he gets that five bagger when he's out so he sees what he misses.
Yes.
He could have had.
Yeah. No, the BV is what he's earned a decent chunk, and you can't see, and that's the thing, you know. Look, the business is improving, right? Whenever I get this question, in fact, what I've got now is a stock answer on my notes pad about when people ask me about people sell and fund sell. I said, oh, something's wrong, fund selling. So there's a stock answer there, and I basically says that, listen, in my experience, in the high 90s, 99.9% of the time, someone sells or a fund sells, it's got nothing to do with the business they're selling. It's generally that they're either reallocating stock, there's personal reasons. Even directors can sell to, you know, for tax reasons, to buy a house, to buy anything, for money, for divorce, which I know someone did recently, a CEO of a thing. So when a director buys, is one reason they're buying, it's because they can get money out of it. When they're selling, there's many different reasons. And generally, they can't sell because there's something wrong with the company, because that means they know there's something wrong with the company. That's inside information. They can be arrested for that, you know? So don't read anything into anyone selling. 99.9% of the time, it's because it's a personal thing. It's to do with the investment company. So investment, you know, houses have different managers all the time. And then if a company goes down below a certain market cap, they'll say, we're not going to invest in companies below 50 million. We have got no liquidity. We can't buy and sell. So just sell. They just dump. They don't care if they make a loss. They have old thousands of companies. They don't care if they make a loss on one company. So yeah, don't worry about, you know, someone selling, because Stewie, he's made decent money. Fair play. Yeah. You know, if he wants to sell and take some profit, let him think about it. I mean, he must have made a million or so, hasn't he? A decent couple of million, maybe. So yeah. Maybe he'll just hold half a million in there or whatever. I don't know. But it's up to him, isn't it, what he does. He's de-risking. Maybe he just wants to buy a house like, you know, Robert Keith. Who knows? Mm.
There you go.
I don't think he'd afford that, actually, because that house looks amazing. But maybe he just wants to buy a house. Okay. Maybe he just wants to buy a house. Anything else worth talking about? Stocks or shares?
No, not much else going on.
There was something I forgot on the market. I own TrackQuest. Oh, Truefin has had a little rally, a little bit there. I'm waiting for that to. I think it's going to do very well soon. Truefin, I really do. They're keeping quiet about it, but Truefin, I think, will do very well. It'll come down to being one company, probably two companies, maybe maximum. No one, and they'll sell a lot, rest of cash. Maybe return that to investors. But yeah, I think it'll do well. I quite like that. I'm hoping to get because someone asked me, said, can you get the CEO on? Hopefully soon, yes. I think April is the month he's coming on, so hopefully we get him on. But again, I think that could be it'd be interesting to see if they announce the Lloyds thing or the Mortal Shell 2 thing. It'll make the share price move like crazy.
Let's
hope so.
Yes. Absolutely. Steve, let's get a TV recommendation. I've gone to Louis Theroux, Steve. I've actually exhausted. In fact, you know what I've done? I've actually exhausted Netflix pretty much. BBC I've exhausted. But well, I'm on the treadmill in the morning. But what I've gone to now, my son, right, Fred, he gets everything from TikTok. Everything, all his facts, everything from TikTok, right? And he's been...
Facts.
Someone on these followers has been talking about Peaky Blinders. And I tried Peaky Blinders previously. And I thought it was a bit pantomime, and I watched it a bit. I didn't really get into it. So I said, listen, he started watching it anyway. Can I watch it? I didn't really think it was that bad. And so he started watching it. I said, oh, I better watch this. So I put it on the treadmill, I thought, I'll monitor it, because he watched the first episode. He says, it's very good, Dad, it's very good. And I started watching it. I thought, what? There's like shootings in the heads, sex, there's everything in it. I said, well, no, Fred. And he's been mooning me for days. He said, I'm old enough, I know what goes on. He doesn't know what goes on. He didn't, you know, there's a scene in there where...
How old is he?
He's six. No, he's 11.
That's all right.
I think it's 15, yeah. But there's a scene in there, Steve, right, where the sister is having sex with another guy in a bed, and they're just rocking it. And he, afterwards, I was talking about sex and stuff, and he said, oh, that's what Austin was doing. Some Shelby, the so he didn't know what they were doing. She was sitting on top of him, just rocking back and forth for a laugh. I thought, what do you think they were doing in that bed there? But no, I'm into the second episode of Peaky Blinders now. I know it's old, and people say I watched it years ago, and I'm getting into it actually, because the thing is, I've watched a lot of episodes recently, and acting is quite bad. But as long as the main character is a good actor, like Thomas Shelby, he's a good actor. The main character, some around him at pantomime, you know, a bit actory. And also another one worth watching actually is Unforgotten on ITV. That's worth watching.
Oh yeah.
The main character, again, she's very good. Some of the round them. In fact, there's another guy in there. Is not the Asian guy who's arrested the copper. He's very good as well. But the Asian who's a sidekick, Sanjeev, I think, he's not that good.
Oh, yeah.
He's rubbish.
Yeah.
But the Asian guy who's arrested the copper, he's very good, I thought. And the main actor. As long as the main actor's good, with the story's based around, it's okay. But Louis Theroux stuff, yeah, into that again. And Steve, have you been watching anything new? Steve's a good one. Paddy's in there.
I wouldn't put that as first class, but something is quite. It was quite funny. And do you know the girl who's in Big Bang Theory? I don't know her name. The blonde.
No.
She's in a new drama on Sky One called Flight Attendant. It's quite amusing.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that.
She's an amazing actress. She plays like a drunk flight air stewardess. Is that? I'll give it away. But something happens, and then she's got to kind of get herself out of a pickle. But it's quite cool. Funny.
Something happens, and she has to get herself out of a pickle.
Wow, you should write the script.
I used to do continuity on a TV channel, and my scripts were never that good.
There you go. You can have that for free.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I thought so. Nicola Walker's good. Sanjeev Bhaskar, I don't think he was that good, really. But there's another guy.
He's a comedian, though.
Yeah, no, he overacts, you know? Just overacts there.
Justin hates overacting.
Yeah, I like it underacted. When's the last season of that? Unforgotten cast. Anyway, yes, but it's good. It's worth watching that. Louis Theroux is...
So have you been watching the TV shows or the podcast?
I did talk last night when you were in here. I watched one where, ironically, a dementia thing, which I wasn't sure if I'd watched before. But I thought it was very good. But that dementia thing and...
I watched the Vegas one, Louis Theroux. That was good. Have you seen that one?
Faldat Sharma.
What are they all on, by the way?
What? Louis Theroux now on
Netflix
have bought him, yes. But the ones I watched, they were very good, I thought was...
There's quite a lot I've not seen, actually, so yeah.
Senile dementia thing, autistic kids was excellent as well. And also, it's worth watching now, actually, he speaks to Joey Exotic, you know, Tiger guy in America, who's arrested. Yeah. He speaks to him before it all blew up, Tiger King. And now he's doing a reprisal, and he's going with that lady, Carol, the woman who's the rival, who Joey's
Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin, yeah. He's doing a new interview with her, and they're walking around Joey's site because it's now derelict. And so that's coming up very soon. So it's worth watching that one again because it goes back to the... he's mad then, that Joey Exotic guy. He's mad anyway. But he's now locked up, isn't he? But it's worth going back to that. And But also... out. I don't know what. I find it annoying. Dragon's Den's new series that is, and they're worth watching as your investor, I think, because you see what. But Shark Tank is a lot better in America. But that's on now. But they never invest in anything. They never take any risk. They only invest in a company, which is fair enough. They only invest in a company that's pretty much proven and needs a bit of cash, you know. So and they take
this. I find it so cringy. I can't watch it.
Yeah, they are. They've got no personalities, but they're also really confident, cocky blokes. People on there, or women on there, because they've done well at business. They're really cocky. And their sense of humour is dreadful. But anyway, on Innocent, Faldut Sharma, he was a brilliant actor, I thought, on Innocent 4. Unforgotten, it's called.
Anything else? Linus Duty was good, wasn't it?
No, it's rubbish. Absolutely rubbish.
Second episode. Wow.
If you were suckered into that by the hype and the hope and the attention it's getting, right. Don't be this. Plenty of other stuff on. There's a lot better.
Watch the second episode.
What?
Did you watch the second episode?
Yes, it's rubbish. It's just boring.
Justin, you haven't watched this.
No, I have. I tried it because we wrote stuff to watch, and I don't understand. I don't understand. I said to Megan, we keep going back to the previous season for some reason. I don't know why, and I don't understand any link between that last season and this season. And they changed most of the cast, and the new cast is coming. It's boring, rubbish. The storylines are boring. I don't know if it's going anywhere.
No. It all links up. And the policeman being the guy from the season one, like, that's amazing. How's that going to play out?
Don't care. Let's hope it finishes. Let's hope they just say that's the end. Good night. We couldn't think of
this
story.
This police force is riddled with corruption, though. So, like, at some point, they need to get a handle on that.
Is it based on the Met?
Well, exactly. I'm just saying that. Megan, right? There's a guy. Do you see that now? After that, that guy was arrested for murdering someone, a copper, we're going to show another one now. Join the neo-Nazis. They're not getting their PR right. Are they the police at the moment? They're right all over the place.
No, there was another one as well with serious allegations against. Yeah, I know. Crazy.
Crazy. There we are.
Crazy.
All right, boys. I think we've done enough, haven't we, really?
Oh, I think we have, yeah.
We covered a lot.
Most people are turned off by now.
Yeah, yeah. But pity. Normally, Paddy's turned off by now. But, yeah. I know. Cool. Cheers, lads. Speak next week.
Okay. Happy Easter.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.